And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its independent affiliated stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, The Bridge, is the first in a series entitled The Writer and His Times. It was written by Joseph Mindell and is based on true incidents in the life of Thomas Mann. The Bridge. An artist builds a bridge between life and mind. He may build with color, or form, or tone, or words, but always the bridge is between event and meaning, between the world and one who lives in it. That is to say, anyone, for the thoroughfare is not private. Let us then walk the bridge of Thomas Mann. I will tell you about Thomas Mann. But if you ask, is the story true, then you must not expect the answer to be either yes or no. Only remember that if the link between reality and imagination is slender, yet it can support the world and truth besides. Then I will tell you first how Thomas Mann once watched a performance of Hamlet.
Oh, I die, Horatio. The potent poison quite o'erflows my skin. The rest is silence.
Now cracks a noble heart. Good night, sweet prince, and flights of angels sing thee to thy rest.
Cloak, my dear.
We're going backstage, don't you remember?
Oh? I would rather not see Hamlet, that is, Herr Junger, and not just now.
You promised we must go to him.
I suppose we must. Well, pardon us, if you please.
Excuse me.
It was a moving performance, Herr Junger.
Well, you are most gracious, gnädige Frau.
But I really mean it. And I'm sure that my husband agrees with me. Don't you, Thomas?
Forgive me. I was remembering the dueling scene when the blood flows from your arm.
Well, the blood, Herr Mann, that blood was nothing more nor less than tomato sauce.
No.
Yes. You see, I give 6 performances each week. I'm afraid I simply couldn't spare quite so much real blood.
Oh, no, naturally.
Thomas, you didn't really believe...
No, of course not, my dear.
Oh, well, I'm very sorry, Herr Mann. That is, I regret that I've disillusioned you. Well, forgive me, I am a clumsy ox.
Thomas.
What? Oh, I'm sorry, I was thinking.
I'm afraid that Herr Junger is rather upset.
Oh, please, my dear sir.
I regret that I spoiled your enjoyment entirely.
No, quite the contrary. It was a remarkable illusion.
It was?
I saw blood. With nothing but tomato sauce, you made me believe that I was seeing real blood.
Really?
Oh, allow me to congratulate you, sir. It was a moment of artistic creation.
It was not always easy to know when Thomas Mann was serious. But then he might have said that it is not always easy to know illusion from reality. And this delighted him, although it sometimes gave him cause to reflect.
You know, Katya, a very strange thing happened today.
Did it?
I met
Felix Krull.
I hope he and his family are well.
Katya, Felix Krull.
Who? Oh, Felix Krull, the story you wrote.
There he was. I don't even remember the man's name. The same walk that I described. The same manner of talking. And a scoundrel, I'm sure. A real scoundrel.
But charming?
Oh, quite charming. It was an upsetting experience.
I would have thought you'd like to compare your Felix Krull with his model.
There was no model, Katya. I invented Felix Krull from head to foot, inside and out.
Oh, that is disconcerting.
That is. I think I invented him.
You have never met this man before?
No, not that I remember. Old Müller, the critic, was there.
Did he also recognize your Felix Krull?
He winked and nodded with a knowing look in his eye.
You're pleased with yourself, aren't you?
He took me aside and talked at some length about his astuteness.
I know what you're thinking, Thomas.
Do you, Katya?
You're thinking what a devil of a fellow you are.
I never said...
I can read it in your face. How you lead people around by the nose, you're thinking. You create a world and they believe in it.
But I do not fool you, do I?
But of course you do. You are Der Zauberer, aren't you? The sorcerer?
Am I? Tell me, do sorcerers also manage sometimes to fool themselves?
A writer builds a bridge, but it may be that he does not always know how he builds it, nor does he always know in the beginning if it crosses from one shore to another. For Thomas Mann, the beginning was when at 25... he wrote his first novel and sent it to a publisher.
You? You are Thomas Mann?
You were expecting me, I hope.
Yes, yes, but... Of course, only... I thought you would be an older man.
Oh, is that important?
What? Oh, no, not at all. I asked you to come and see me.
Yes, it was very good of you, sir.
But that does not mean I've decided to publish your novel, you understand?
Yes, I understand. If I may have the manuscript...
Oh, no. Sit down, young man. I want to talk with you. I knew your grandfather, the consul. And your father, Senator of Lübeck, wasn't he? 3 times mayor of the city.
Twice.
Yes. Fine man. Highly respected merchant. Tell me, do you think it is... proper for you to write a story about your own family?
But it is not the story of my family.
Oh, come on, Hermann. I've read your manuscript. The old man a consul, his son a senator, both merchants. You have taken liberties, of course, but still. Now, why did you choose to write about them?
I wrote about those things that I knew.
Now, what's the world coming to? Do they no longer teach young people to be logical?
It is not a question of logic.
On the one hand, it's not your family, you say. On the other hand, whom else can you write about? You can't have it both ways. Which is it?
Well, I think it is both. I have written what I know and what I have imagined. And I hope that what I have made is more than the sum of the two.
Hermann? I would like to read your manuscript again. It may be that I will, after all, publish your book.
The novel that was almost rejected was Buddenbrook's, eventually to be read by millions and earn the Nobel Prize for its author. It was the first arch of the bridge that Thomas Mann built with care and delicacy, and sometimes with changes in direction. For in the years after the First World War, life was changing with rapidity, especially in the Germany of the Weimar Republic.
Your name carries weight in Germany, Hermann. I ask you...
No, it is no use, Franz, my friend. I will not address political meetings. I have no concern with the forms and institutions of government.
Forms and institutions? Hermann, the Kaiser was overthrown. The Prussian Junkers forced back. For the first time, the German people have a promise of democracy and freedom.
How can I make you understand? I am concerned with culture, not politics.
All right. Good day, Hermann. I am sorry that I wasted your time and mine.
No, wait, Franz. I do not want you to leave with bitterness. I have been honest with you, my friend.
Yes, you have made your position clear. You enjoy a luxury that only an artist can afford.
Luxury?
To be unconcerned with freedom.
How do you know what freedom means to me?
I have listened to you, Hermann.
You talk of freedom and mean elections and jury trial and free enterprise. The right of working men to be thoughtless citizens and businessmen to be irresponsible money grubbers.
You fail to mention artists.
And the right of artists to be irresponsible bohemians. That is not what I mean.
Then I have not understood you at all.
Franz, I'm talking of moral freedom. The freedom to see the world as it is, to understand what I am, to look for truth and know it when I find it.
Are you so certain, Hermann, that there is no relation between moral and social freedom, between the right to seek the truth and the right to vote?
No, Franz. I am past the age when things are certain. But this I know. I am not a political man. Audience is restless. Why are you shaking your head, Franz?
I was remembering how only a few short years ago you were convincing me that you were not a political man. And now you are to address a meeting.
Do you find it strange? Well, perhaps it is. But I've been learning to know myself, and whoever does that never remains what he was before.
Whatever the reason, I am happy for the change.
The world has also changed.
Not for the better. Not when the National Socialist Party can win seats in the Reichstag. Hermann, it is not entirely a friendly audience out there.
It does not matter so long as they listen.
Hitler has sent gangs of his fanatics. Now that the moment is here, I'm not sure that
you... You are not sure that I should speak after all?
They stop at nothing.
In one respect, I have not changed, my friend. An artist also has responsibilities. If there are hours when the urgency of existence chokes back his own thought, when the general distress shakes him, too, then he must do what he can. And art must wait.
Hermann, the meeting is about to begin.
Well, now is the time. They are waiting. Hermann.
I was thinking of what I said just now. Is there ever a time when the needs of existence are not urgent? When the artist is so free from the immediate that he can devote himself entirely to the eternal?
Please, Hermann.
Listen, at home on the shelves where I keep my own works, there are as many volumes of speeches, lectures, essays, as there are novels.
You can't keep them waiting any longer.
Oh, I am ready now. Good evening. Good evening, my friends. At an hour that is late for Germany and the world, I come to make an appeal for reason. I will talk of the National Socialist German Workers' Party, every single word of whose name is a fraud. How much longer it will be possible to speak freely, no one can say. Now, before it is too late, I ask you to subject to reasoning analysis the high-flown, wishy-washy jargon, the hyphenated prefixes like race and hope, the fanatical barbarism, the head-up powers of smog and superpowers. Katya, there is Germany. Only a few miles. You can see it from the window. And here is Switzerland.
Do sit down, Thomas, and relax.
It's peaceful here. No hatred and violence and barbarism. It is still part of a civilized world.
Then enjoy it while you can. Our vacation is almost over.
3 years ago, I appealed to reason. In 3 years, they have taken over all of Germany. Katya, what is wrong with us that we permit such things to happen?
Excuse me. Hello? Yes. It's from Munich. Yeah. Maybe it's the children. Hello, Erica. Oh, how good to hear from you. I am well, and Father, too. Mm-hmm. Oh, Now, Erica, you know a little rain. All right, a storm, whatever it is. It won't keep him away from his desk. Thomas.
Yes?
She says we are to stay in Switzerland. That bad weather is coming.
Let me talk to her. Hello, Erica. Yeah, we are planning to leave in a day or so. Yes, yes, I heard. But... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see. Erica, my dear, be careful. Be very careful. Yeah. Happy to say.
Thomas, I want to go home.
No, my dear.
It's only a day sooner. I want to be with the children.
They are making arrangements to join us. Bad weather is coming. Very bad. The house cleaning, Erica says, will be too much for us.
Thomas Mann, who had begun by proclaiming himself long ago an unpolitical man, now lived in exile because he would not be silent. Words long unused in our time were heard again. Exile, emigre, refugee. And when they met, these exiles, these emigres, the words they spoke were dark with hate. But since he was Thomas Mann, there was also something more.
Hatred is the only right, the only possible reaction of those who love civilization.
My feelings need no logical justification, Hermann.
And yet I think that those are not our best hours in which we hate.
We are not given a choice.
Ah, but we are, Franz. When my hatred is overcome by the need for freedom, for reason and objective contemplation, I am intrigued by how big a role one man, such a man, plays in history.
Intrigued?
Consider, my friend. Here is a man, 10 times a failure. Lazy, incapable of work, a disappointed bohemian artist who has learned nothing and will learn nothing, who cannot sit a horse or drive a car or fly a plane or do anything that men do, even to begetting a child.
Oh, please, Hermann, I find it impossible at this time to take the philosophic view. Well,
then the loss is yours, Franz, not his. We must have a proper perspective. And besides, philosophy is a powerful stimulant to the sense of irony, which is the native element of all art.
Hermann, there is, after all, a distinction between art and life.
Mm-hmm. Not so great as people think.
Nevertheless, I find nothing to be amused about.
Don't you? Just think.
He
must be rather annoyed that my last book, The Magic Mountain, is outselling Mein Kampf.
But not for long, only until the burning of the books, when all of Mann's writings were banned. And while the Japanese were ordained honorary Aryans, Mann was declared to be no longer a German. But still he spoke, this time through a silent exchange of letters, a dialogue in space, across the boundary between civilization and barbarism. Here's one of the letters.
To Herr Thomas Mann, writer.
This, at least, you are still forced to acknowledge.
As dean of the philosophical faculty of the University of Bonn, I inform you that as a consequence of your loss of citizenship...
Does the Third Reich still have citizens or slaves?
Your name is stricken from the university's roll of honorary doctors.
I have long since lost any pleasure in this academic honor.
Your right to use this title is cancelled in accordance with the regulations concerning the conferring of degrees.
I hold a more recent honorary degree of Doctor of Letters from Harvard University. Without boasting, I must quote the reason for sustaining, together with a very few contemporaries, the high dignity of German culture. You do not say anything, Herr Dean. Nevertheless, there are things that I must say, not to you, whom I do not know, but to the German people.
And by hidden and secret means, the people of Germany received his words and read them and repeated them.
I am supposed to have dishonored the Reich in acknowledging that I am against these miserable creatures who happen to have the outward power to deprive me of my citizenship.
They have the effrontery to confuse themselves with Germany when, after all, perhaps the moment is not far off when it will be of supreme importance to the German people not to be confused with them. As a man who...
Where did you get that paper?
What's the difference? Listen. As a man who seldom or never, either by tongue or pen, lets the name of the deity escape him, yet...
SS men. Let's get away from here.
No, don't be a fool.
two friends talking in the street.
Then hide that paper, quick.
I don't have to look at it. I know the words by heart. This is what he said. Yet let me close this letter with a brief and fervent prayer. God help our darkened and desecrated country and teach it to make peace with the world and with itself.
An artist builds a bridge with the tools he has in the years that are given to him. In the years when there was no peace anywhere in the world, not in Europe nor in America, where Thomas Mann came to live. He used words, his tools, as an artist must. Every month he spoke by radio across the ocean to the German people, and every day he worked at the cycle of novels that was becoming his life's work.
For Joseph was a man blessed with blessing from the heavens above and from the depths beneath. Well, Franz, what do you think of it?
What is there to say? The words cast a spell, only...
That's Harborough.
Did you say something, Katya?
Oh, just to myself, Thomas.
Oh. You have reservations about the story, Franz?
Oh, no. Only it seems strange that you should choose as the hero a biblical figure. Joseph, the son of Jacob.
What, is it so strange? Joseph was also an exile, wasn't he? Banished by his brothers. But even more, he was a worldly man. And at the same time, a man of God.
There. That is what I find strange. That you seem to have turned to religion.
It is nothing new and entirely natural, since I am a writer.
But I have read...
Franz, he's teasing you.
Only a little. Franz, tell me why it is that in German we do not have one word to describe a writer. We must use two. Dichter and Schriftsteller.
Poet and journalist.
Exactly. It is a fourth difference that corresponds to that between culture and civilization, between God's will and the life of men in this world.
What has all this to do with Joseph?
Don't you see? Pronounce the blessing upon Joseph's head. And it was not a wish that he might be, but a statement that he was blessed from the heavens above and the depths beneath. Joseph was a man on earth and a child of God, a link between, yes, between... Schriftsteller and Dichter.
Thomas, my dear, aren't you confusing yourself with Joseph?
Not only myself, but all men. For if a man is an artist, whether with words or with his life, then what does that mean? That he has concern for the truth, for the good, the just and needful thing. In other words, the will of God. I hope that I have always been a religious man.
He was not attached to a piece of life, so that he could see clearly all of life. Thinking to write of himself, he explained the meaning of his times, and out of his vision, he built between the mind and reality, between men and their world and God, a bridge that others might cross.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address and 25 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York, New York, 10027. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Rabbi Seymour Friedman, Assistant to the President of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Rabbi Friedman.
It was not intended for man to live alone, but to be a member of society. This creates for him many duties with respect to his relationship with his fellow man. In the final analysis, his life is not his own to do with as he pleases. Man's conduct affects his neighbors as their conduct affects him. This truth is illustrated by a parable based upon the verse in the book of Numbers. Shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? The Midrash compares it to a company of men on board a ship. One took a drill and began to bore a hole under him. The other passengers asked, "What are you doing?" He replied, "Am I not making the hole under my seat?" "Yes," they retorted, "but the water will enter and drown us all." Thomas Mann sincerely sought not to be political, not to become involved in the turbulence surrounding him. But he soon realized that man's fate is interwoven with the destiny of his fellow man. As he in his time, as man throughout the millennia, we too today face the difficulties of a world asunder. It is easy in this mass, faceless, computerized society to be indifferent to the woes of our fellow men, to be concerned only with our own well-being. But we may be in mortal danger of drowning by the shallowness, bleakness, and deprivation of the lives of our shipmates in the turbulent seas in the world. Only when we, as did Thomas Mann, continue learning to know ourselves, the blessed of God as Joseph was the blessed of Jacob, will we not remain what we were before, but become involved in the issues of our time. Thomas Mann was a religious man, a man of integrity, of independent thought, a protester against the inhumanities perpetrated by man, a spokesman for the preservation of spiritual and moral values. Let his life be a symbol for us, so that we may sincerely strive and seek for truth and integrity, so that we, the children of Jacob, be blessed, and thus God's world be blessed.
Thank you, Rabbi Friedman. Our Eternal Light drama today, The Bridge, was written by Joseph Mindell and was the first in a series entitled The Writer and His Times. Cantor Robert H. Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured today was Norman Rose as Thomas Mann. Others in the cast were Donald Buca, James Monks, Terry Keane, Teo Getz, and Lawson Zerbe. The narrator, Lester Rawlins. We invite you to join us next week when The Eternal Light will present The Lantern in the Inferno by Morton Wishengrad, a special program in observance of Hanukkah. This is Jerry Damon. The Eternal Light is directed by Kenneth McGregor and presented weekly under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network. Ooh.